any supervisor comments?
Are there any citizens' comments, Mr. Chair?
No.
I haven't seen anybody here.
No, they were supposed to call in.
No, I did not receive any emails or phone calls from any citizens wanting us to read their comments.
All right, very good. Any supervisor comments? All right, then, if there are no other comments, we'll go right into this closeout.
You gotta approve the minutes.
You gotta approve the minutes.
Before you.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, before you is the carryover resolution. This is a pretty standard procedure. These are the items that carried over, in other words, they have not coming back. Budget and.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, are we doing a year-end report first, or?
Kathy, perhaps we should start with the.
I've got number six as financial services year-end report, so.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I just want to make sure I'm not.
And that report, is that going to be done by you, Patty, or?
No, the year-end report will be done by Kathy Andrea.
Sure, go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, hello, everyone. We will, in our packet, my information starts. Patty, I'm not going to do Barna's part, or should I? No.
Hoping you will be able to get on.
I'm going to page.
I got two hearing aids on it, I can't hear, so I know everybody else can.
Can you turn the volume up there, Terry? Terry, on your controller, can you turn the volume up?
No, I think it's, she's got to turn something up, not here.
Okay. Kathy, can you turn your volume up at home, please?
Yes, all my speakers.
I think she's just downstairs.
Okay, I'm starting on page six on the packet. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
That's all right.
We're on page six.
I read it all anyway. Had plenty of time.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, this page represents, it shows the beginning unassigned fund balance from last year. You can see $18,718,617 in the column called general fund. And for the end of 2019, we have increased to the $19,840,410. And with this, with our adopted budget resolution, we are allowed to lapse monies between funds that that can cover things. So in our human services area, we have a social service fund and we have the job center building fund. Those are all human services. This year with the final entry of the health insurance and other entries, the job center building needs to cover the social service fund, and we're lapsing those two monies together, $970,821. So human services covering their own expenses and net situation. It does not affect the general fund. The general fund doesn't have to cover anything, and I know Barna will talk about that a little more. So we ended up with 19.8. Our expenditures were this year $69,111,083, which is $8,091,526 million over the 17% that were required. So if we were at 17, we'd have 11.7 million, but we're higher than that. We have a 28.71% unassigned fund balance this year. This doesn't need approval, but it's just informational.
Yes, on the Human Services Institute placements, last month you had, it was zero there. Now suddenly it's $385,000 plus. How did that happen?
I'm sorry, what page are you on, sir?
I'm on your page six, like you're talking about. The top of the page there where it says items causing increase to the general fund.
No, that's page two. That's the general fund report. Barna will report on that. Kathy is walking us through the financial statements. She is on page six. The item that you're referring to is page two. And Barna will walk us through the resolution and the general fund report when he gets on. Kathy's walking us through the financial statements.
Okay.
Are we good? Okay. So moving on to page seven is the balance sheet for the governmental funds. And you can see we have three major funds: general fund, human services fund, and the debt service fund. The rest of the governmental funds are combined in, it says non-major, and I will give you more detail about those on following pages. For human services, you can see a small negative cash, but they do have a large receivables of almost 6.8 million. So that is not a factor. They have these receivables that have already actually been received. So I'd like to go to the bottom of the page in the first column of numbers, the general fund column, and talk about the fund balances and just point out that we have three non-spendable items. One is the prepaid item. One is the advance due from other funds, which is related to the Brookside cash from last year. And then the delinquent taxes. The delinquent taxes of 3.3 million are an improvement from last year. We had to pull out 3.5 million. So we've actually gone down more, and 3.3 million is the lowest balance of that delinquent tax since before 2005. When we went into the recession in 2009, it was actually almost 8 million. So we're sitting low here, and that's a good sign that we've decreased it and maybe as low as it has ever been. Then you go down the column, we have some encumbrances and carryovers. And then I showed you the unassigned amount of $19,840,410. So there's our unassigned fund balance. In the next column, fund balance for human services fund, that $55,000, it remains in there because the aging department received a bequest a couple years ago, and they use that for certain, it's specified for certain uses. And then the debt service fund of $473,000. I'm going to go to the next page of page eight. And this is the income statement for the governmental funds. And I'm going to point out in the first column of numbers in the general fund, the total expenditures, $69,111,083. That's the number we use to come up with what 17% of our total general fund expenditures. So that's where we find that. And the net change in fund balance for the general fund was $186,045. So we just, about $200,000. And then in the, for the second column under human services fund, you can see where I talked about that transfer in from the human service building, $970,000. And that brings them down to their bequest of $55,000. In the next column is the debt service and their fund balance. Last year we had a small deficit, and this year now we are to the good of $473,067, which is used for debt service for the following year. I will go to page nine if there's no questions. On page nine, it shows budget to actual for the general fund. As you can see in the revenue section, the final budget was for the revenues was 67.8 and our actual was 68.8. So we were $1 million higher, mostly So you can see the $1 million in intergovernmental revenues and some other effects there. So we were $1 million higher in revenues. And then our expenses, the total, all our line items, all our budget appropriations came under budget. And we, $69.2 million in the budget, $69.1 million in actual. Then I would like to point out the transfer in. There's a transfer in of $849,476, and that's related to the federal inmate fund. Any net income that they have transfers into the general fund, and I'll show you that detail on a later page. So the fund balance increased there by $186,045. And we're all in compliance with the budget for the general fund. Page 10 is the Human Services Fund, which we also show budget to actual. Our revenues were lower than expected, but so were our expenses. So you can see, though, the budget expenses were all under the budget. We had, there's a line called health and a line called social services. Both of those expenditures were less than the budget. And so we're in compliance there. And then you see the transfer in that I talked about. The next page is the proprietary funds, which we have Brookside, which includes Willowbrook, Highway, Golf Course, and then our internal service funds, which are detailed on a later page. For Brookside, they actually, even though it shows negative there, it's actually $96,000 more cash than the year prior. And their accounts receivable, you can see, is $2,332,074. Last year, the receivable was higher than that. So we've collected pretty well, even though their revenues are higher this year, the receivable is lower, so they're doing better on, they're keeping up on their collections. I will go to page 12, which is the income statements for the proprietary funds. And there you can see the first column is Brookside's revenue charges for service is 18.8. Last year, the total charges for service were only 17.2 because we didn't have a full year. So it increased to 18.8. Their expenses increased a little bit. And so they come out for their change in net position, which is like their net income loss. They do have a loss, but last year the loss was 2.1 million. This year it's less than a million. So they did improve on their operations there. Highway has the change in net position there towards the bottom is $7,039,464, and that represents mostly their bond money that they have where projects for roads and things that they have to complete in the next year. So that comes out almost very close to their carryovers that they need to keep over. And then you have the golf course column. It does show a loss of $74,000, but most of that's attributed to the weather. They had some bad weather last year and also a little increase in depreciation, which shows up there in the small loss. The next page, 13, is our fiduciary fund, where we hold money. We collect money for the state for various reasons, and we send it on. So it's really not the county's money. So it shows as cash and a liability, and that cash is held in our bank account. So it's all merged in there, but that's a separate fund. On page 14 is the more detail where I told you we had non-major funds that we rolled up on that first page. These are the detailed funds that I'm going to talk about. We have special revenue funds, and you can see the titles. We have the Housing Authority, the Health Department, the Library, the Geographic Info Systems, and the Sheriff Federal Equitable Sharing Fund. One thing I want to point out is the Health Department, it does have a negative cash, but their receivable that they're there is 1.2 million. So that's plenty to cover their cash. And then we have, I guess that's pretty much it. On the bottom, you can see that all those funds, those special revenue funds, the fund balances have to be used for the purposes of that fund. In the health department, if you see the unassigned fund balance, there is $202,350. We, as I said, I mean, I didn't point out these are not audited statements. They're unaudited and they're drafts. And one thing that we still have to calculate is the city's portion of this, of the health department's activity. So that calculation still will be calculated, and then we'll see where they come up, but they have a fund balance there, 202,000. Next page, the balance sheet for our capital projects. We have the Parkland development, the public safety building, energy reduction technology, public safety access point project, and then various other in this other fund, other capital projects is a number of smaller projects. As you can see, the public safety building has a negative fund balance in cash, and that's because the plan was that we would be bonding for 1.95 million in 2020, and we did the project quicker, and then some more in 2021, but from what we can see, that project is coming in less. We won't have to bond as much as we expected for that project. So that's a good positive. Also, the public safety access point project, which is the fourth column of numbers, has a negative number there, but we're making an adjustment. There is a receivable that we have to correct. So that will be, that project is closed out. That'll be zero in the audit report. Then you can see at the bottom of page 15 are the fund balances, and they're all have to be used for the projects that they were bonded or for originally. So those are all for those certain projects. The next page is 16, and this is the detailed income statement for all those funds I talked about, special revenue funds. I'd like to point out that there's two funds there towards the right. One is called federal equitable sharing, and the next one is sheriff federal equitable sharing. So in 2019, the federal equitable sharing fund is closed out, and that money was moved and transferred to the sheriff's equitable federal funding. So that now it's under the sheriff's task force, and the federal one is closed out, but that money is used for, it's just transferred over there. So that'll be the active fund. And then the last, second to last column, federal inmate fund, you can see we received $5.958 in revenues. Last year it was 6.5. So it's that revenue is about 500,000 less than it was last year. The expenses are very similar that were allocated there. And so the net income was $849,476. And that's the number that I said transfers to the general fund to increase the general fund. On page 17 is the further breakdown of those capital project funds. And if there's no questions there, I don't really have too much to point out. You can see some expenses in each fund. We're closing out the public safety access fund. On page 18 are the internal service funds. We have the human services building fund, and then the three insurances, health insurance, workers' comp, and the general liability insurance. Those last three, the insurance funds, you can see at the bottom, we keep the 1.5 million in the unrestricted as set aside to help it for health insurance. And the other two funds get zeroed out because they're internal service funds. The last page, page 19, are those same funds, but that's the income statement. And you can see the Human Services Building had income there. That that fund is going, you know, it took like 16 or 17 years for it to break even. It's kind of like a long-term plan like we have for the Brookside. And now it's starting to, because there's no, the depreciation's gone down and things. So we have an income there of $465,000, and we're hoping to be able to keep that there and use it for the building. And the other funds, of course, I talked about. So in general, there's a good picture, and we came out, we don't have any big surprises or deficits or things as what we've been reporting during the year. Our auditors will be starting their remote field work in mid-May. So we're going to be, I know they're not going to be coming on site, but we'll be, you know, electronically giving them all the documents and things. So that'll be interesting to see. And we'll further report that to you later in the year. Do you have any questions?
Anyone questions, discussion?
No.
Move to approve.
When do we get to discuss the stuff on page two, like I was?
Yeah, Barn is here. So Barn is going to go through those documents. We had some technology problems. So Barn, can you start from the beginning?
Sure. We have a motion though.
So, Kathy, is this on the motion?
Pardon me?
The motion is to approve your report. Does the document on the report fall under the statute, or does it fall under the reports of finance?
Yes? I'm not sure.
Now you can hear.
Do you hear me?
Go ahead, Terry. Try it again.
Okay. Kathy, you can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Is Barna's report part of the report Kathy just gave?
No, Barna's report will be the resolution, and he will walk through the attachments behind it. He'll walk through the general fund report.
All right, so what we will do now is then either approve or disprove the report of Kathy, and then we'll hear from Barna.
It's more of a receive and file, but
I agree. Yeah.
It's more of a receive and file.
All right. There was discussion, John.
So the general year-end forecast will be discussed when Barna does his report.
Correct. That's part of the closeout resolution.
That's part of the carryover resolution, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little hard for us to hear. That's why I'm repeating it.
Very hard.
All right.
Well, if it is, I want to discuss that.
Okay. All right, so is there any discussion on the essentially motion to receive and file the accountant's report, Kathy's report? Nothing? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, the next order of business then would be the carryover resolution.
Okay.
And, Patty, who is going to present that?
Presenting that.
You will, you say?
I will.
You will.
Okay. Presenting that.
Again, please speak up because it is hard to hear.
Okay. I will turn up the volume.
Yes, please.
Sure.
Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Very good. Thank you. Go ahead.
Sure, no problem. The first few pages are the typical resolution language that we've had in years past. It includes the whereases and the be it therefore resolved portions, standard language. The only item on the first, it would be on the second page of the resolution that is different from the prior year, that is specific. It references the information technology capital budget budget mod that I'll be discussing in a few moments. But other than that, all the language above that is all standard language from one year to the next, and it just shows that we're carrying over the items from 19 to the 2020 budget. So if I could start with Obviously, the page one is the cover sheet. And page two would be the general fund year-end forecast. Now, this is a format that I'm sure you're all very familiar with. This is how I present every month what our projection is. If I could draw your attention to the lower boxes there, I have in separate columns what the information was presented in the March Finance and Admin Committee meeting. And then immediately to the right of that is what our year-end final figures are. It shows that in total, we are actually very close last month, within $5,000 of what we are expecting to increase. And the increase in the general fund will be $1.12 million, which would increase the unassigned general fund balance up to the $19,840,000. That is just above that. The third number there, that's $69 million, that is the actual general fund expenditures. That $70,483,000 was an estimate that we had shown each month, assuming that we are going to have a 2.5% increase in general fund expenditures. However, our actual general fund expenditures came in lower at the $69 million figure, and therefore that caused that percentage to go up from 28.14 to 28.71.
We have questions on that now.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. As I started to ask before, the up on the items causing increase to the general fund, human services went from last month to 385,000 plus. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. Last month we had it that we reported that they would break even. At that point, we weren't 100% sure if we were going to include the health insurance deficit as part of their totals for human services and public works. So this month for the year end, it's more appropriate to show what the actual operational result was for human services. And then below it shows the health insurance deficit countywide. So countywide, we had just over $1 million deficit in health insurance, which is then offset by the health insurance that deficit that was then allocated to the human services and the public works. So this is a better representation of what the actual operations showed.
And my other question on the items causing decreases to the general fund, federal inmate housing and other KSD revenue deficit went from 68,000 plus to 190,000 negative for a $250,000 difference there. Is that related to what happened last month with losing the inmates, even though this is 2019, or what?
No, I would not have, this is year end 2019 figures. So last month, between the expenditure surplus and the revenue surplus, about about $200,000, it flipped to about $140,000 deficit when all the final adjustments and everything came in. That line item, that federal inmate housing and KSD revenue deficit, that encapsulates not only just the federal inmate housing, but other revenue. Just by itself, the federal inmate housing revenue came in over budget by, I believe, between 50 and 100,000. But there were other revenues that came in less than what was budgeted, and that's what accounts for that $190,000 deficit. But if you add that to the $59,000 operating expenditures surplus in the section above that, it nets out to be about $130,000 deficit in totality for the Sheriff's Department. So they, considering that they're the largest tax levy component of our budget, they were actually very close to budget.
And another question on the general fund expenditures in your box down there.
Yes.
It comes to 69,111.
Yes.
I looked in the budget book for 19 and the levy was 67.1. So does that mean we overspent the budget by $2 million then?
This 69 million is the general fund expenditures. The figure that you quoted is the tax levy component of it.
I'm trying to see if those are correlated.
Yeah, those are two different things.
Okay. No more questions. Thank you.
Sure.
Jeff. Barna, yes. On the first point that John made with the insurance, I mean, it when you're showing it to us and it comes in at zero, and then it comes in at such a large number, why is it we made the decision to put that all in that category at that point in time? Why wasn't it figured out and shown in the categories it was going to be in all along?
That was the decision I made, that it would be more appropriate to show what the actual operating surplus or deficit, where before I was relying on information from the department saying that they were breaking even. However, that was taking into account the health insurance deficit. So
moving forward, are you going to be doing it that way? So that,
yes, I mean? Yes, I will be doing it that way going forward.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Barnum, what do you estimate then the loss will be as a result of the inmate contract ending?
We're still calculating that. The figure that Kathy referenced in the federal inmate fund, that includes not only the ICE inmates, but it also includes federal marshals, which are still located there at the Sheriff's Department, roughly in the $3 million range. But that's the revenue loss. Offsetting that is the expenses that were attributed for housing those inmates, not only the food and clothing, but it also included the personnel and overtime related to that. So
at this point, we understand you correctly that it was about $900,000 profit, if you want to call it that.
Correct. In 2019, that's what it came out when we netted against the expenses that were allocated to those same individuals.
It was just short of $900,000, I heard.
Correct.
Okay. Anyone else?
That brings up a good point. Going forward, obviously, the budget we set up for 2020 is not going to be correct based on those numbers. What is the status of that? What is the status of our current budget?
So I can address that. What we've been doing, I'm going to address it kind of globally, what the finance and budget teams are doing as a result of what we're doing is we're monitoring all the departments, the revenues, their expenditures or activity in comparison to prior years to make sure that we're isolating anything that's virus related. We've initiated an EFIC project. That's an acronym for Estimated Fiscal Impact of Coronavirus. So what that is we have an interactive reporting with each department and division so that we have real-time information where departments can let us know immediately if they're seeing any changes with their revenue or expenditures or any changes that are related to the virus.
Well, I'm talking more about the inmate loss than the...
I'll speak to that specifically in a moment. I just wanted to lay out all the different pieces that we're doing as part of that. In addition to that, we're monitoring all the state and federal reimbursement programs that are being announced. We're reviewing those for eligibility for potential reimbursement. We're hearing that FEMA may be some items through FEMA, through Department of Health and Human Services, and also some state programs. And lastly, another thing that we initiated was within our ERP system, we have the capability to set up a project model. And so by doing that, we can still charge things to the correct department's budgets, but we can flag those with having to do with the coronavirus. And so that will allow for us to be able to pull that information out very easily, so that when it comes time to being able to report for reimbursement purposes, it's not a chore to try to go through and identify those. We'll be able to pull those out in a report. So specific to the Sheriff's Department, we've since in the last few weeks, we've worked with the Sheriff's Department to review their staffing levels and the related personnel related expenditures. What the Sheriff's Department has done is they've taken a majority of the inmates that they had, because they obviously had it in two locations. They had it out at the detention center and then some at the pretrial facility. So the Sheriff's Department has moved a number of inmates from the pretrial facility to the detention center to consolidate wings and to consolidate their staffing. In addition, they're also using that pretrial facility as kind of a quarantine where it's separate. So whenever somebody comes in the door, that they have a separate area prior to having them be mixed in with the general population, they're separated. So as part of that, we're studying what the ongoing organization needs are. We'll be going forward without having to have those 150 to 170 ICE inmates. What's complicating that process right now is because in the midst of this virus, and what's going on, the Sheriff's Department has had a lot of employees that have been quarantined. In his status update meetings that Patty and I attend every morning, virtually, of course, we were notified that they're up to 24 or 34. Employees that are quarantined. So what's happening is those staff are being quarantined at home. So to give you an idea, out of the total staffing, that's how many people are quarantined at home. So long story short, there is, once we've gotten past this crisis with the virus and it'll go back to the normal staffing level, is when we can more readily analyze what level is needed going forward to make sure that we don't have that disparity between the revenue and the expenses, so that we have a big hole at the end.
Okay, there's two issues I have with that. The first is that we should, I know part of our resolution last week that went to the executive committee was in regard to the sheriff and getting people in there. If he needs to revisit that and bring another resolution forward because he doesn't have enough deputies, we need to look at that. The second concern I have is back when those inmates were pulled, and I can't remember when, I spoke with the sheriff and there was he was giving me all kinds of plans. That was before the virus. So I really think we're going to be moving forward and creating 2021's budget in June and July. Mm-hmm. We have to have a handle on what's happening to our budget this year, I would think. I mean, you're the financial people, but I don't know how we could not know what's going on now and then move into next year's budget. So I would think that we would have to have something on our next finance agenda that gives us an update, so we could cycle through and look at a plan of action or numbers or where, you know, I know things might not be finalized, but I think we got to look at where we're at. What's your comment to that?
I agree. Having that information is going to be very important for developing the 2021 budget. However, I understand that there's concern over this issue and that there's a need to pin it down. But for the reasons that I stated before, until we get to a more normalized operation, it's going to be difficult to estimate where we need to be in order to backfill the loss in revenue. We will have to work through that through this summer and through this fall to get to that 2021 budget. I absolutely agree with you, Supervisor Gentz. It's going to be very important. It might be the most important component of our budget calculations next year. But what I'm saying, I guess what I'm saying is we're going to need some, a little time to work through that.
Okay. And you know what? I'm not trying to get an exact number and an exact plan, but I think it is something as a finance, the finance committee, we need to be brought up to speed on, you know, your ongoing, you know, thoughts and computations, maybe not anything finalized, but I don't want to be surprised after we get these people back and all of a sudden we're in the whole $2 million or something, which I don't think will happen. But I just think as a finance committee, we need to know what you're looking at, what you're putting into this. So I would like it on next month's agenda, even not for a finalized thing of, you know, I'm not holding anybody's feet to the fire with it, but I think this is going to be the biggest thing that we talk about going into the budget. And we need to have a handle on what's happening to this year's budget before we move into that. So that's what I would like to see happen. So I don't know if I'm all off base or.
No, Supervisor Gentz, you are not off base. Barna and I have had several conversations on gathering information together and having at least a preliminary type report ready for the committee in May.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further committee discussion here?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
The budget mod form here, is that up for discussion now or is that a later?
I will be getting to that very shortly. I'm going to go page by page.
Okay. All right. Anything else on this? What, page two, the forecast?
Correct. If there's any
more on then, Barna?
Sure. The next page after that, this is a page that I always put in there that shows what our health insurance surplus or deficit each year. It's a good review over the years, how we've done. This year, we're just a little better than last year. To be honest with you, I'm a little disappointed because we were going to be less, we were going to be about $400,000 to $500,000 less of a deficit this year. But unfortunately, at the last moment, we got an actuary estimate on our IBNR, which stands for incurred but not recorded. So those are the claims that are incurred usually in December, but not recorded as in not having had to pay the bill. So the actuary goes through a bunch of different tests and goes through lag tables and a number of different actuarial type calculations. And that number estimate, we had to add to our deficit of $406,000. And normally that comes in either in the $100,000 range, and there's been some years where it actually came in negative, and this year it came in at $400,000. So, but in general, that figure is due to higher claims than budgeted, but overall, having it be a $24 million line item to be within 3 to 4% I would call a win, especially when you compare that to the other two insurances that we also budget for, the workers' compensation and the liability. In the page prior to this, it reflects that we had $700,000 surplus in workers' comp and $300,000 deficit in liability. When you take those three together, you're looking at about a $700,000 deficit out of $27 to $28 million, a large component of our budget, and that's within a 3% of what we budgeted. So I think we did rather well compared to how we budgeted.
Supervisor Gentz has a question, Barna.
Sure.
Barna, from what I understood you saying, that we finished off the claims and our deficit went up and it was a little bit higher than it usually is. Do we have any claims that are going to be carrying over and transitioning year to year that are not in there, that we're going to have a bump this year?
That was the figure that I had quoted, that 400,000, That was the number that we had to include in 2019 deficit.
So that takes things moving forward and just puts them in that category.
Correct. Okay. It's clean. It's in 2019. So we don't have to worry about that affecting this year's.
Thank you.
Sure.
Barna, if you look at 2005, we had a surplus of 2,405,000 plus.
Yes.
Approximately 20 years later, that figure is almost flipped to a deficit a little more than that. What do you see as the explanation there?
Unfortunately, in that 15 years, medical costs have gone up tremendously. Even though we've done many plan design changes within the overall health insurance plan, and during that whole time period, we've also not only introduced employee contribution, but we've also tweaked that along the line too as well. So those two things are done during the budget time to try to offset any potential deficits. But in total, the expenses are going up, and we're doing those two things to try to mitigate so that we come in as close to budget as possible.
Anyone else? Do you want to go on?
Sure. That other box that shows under there, last year, if you don't recall, we actually had a budgetary shortfall of about $340,000. This year, even with having this $1.3 million deficit, and with the portion that would affect the general fund was just over $1 million, that was fully absorbed by other surpluses within the personnel appropriation. So that's why it shows as a net budgetary overdraft of zero. Going on to page four. So page four shows the carryovers that need to be considered by the finance committee and the county board. So these carryovers, so the carryovers that are automatic, so capital projects that are not completed, those are automatically carried over. And then there are some other items that are contained within the budget resolution that allow for automatic carryover. So these are the ones that need to be reviewed and then approved by the board. So I'll go through and touch on each one of these as I go along, and please stop me if you have any questions. So in the first grouping on the top there, the Register of Deeds had a change to their state vital records ordering of specific, I believe, envelopes. And so she wanted to carry over that $1,460 because she's going to have to order them this year as opposed to in the fourth quarter of last year. And in the parks, these next two items, parks and planning development. Now, these are projects that are contained within Fund 100, not within our normal capital fund. So that's why these are in here to be approved and not automatically carried over. So the parks carryover funds there of $48,000, that has to do with notably the Kemper Shoreline Consulting assistance that we had having to do with the FEMA fund recoupment on the damage that was at the lakefront. So that's carrying those dollars over to continue that project. And then the $29,000 has to do with planning development, where they have floodplain mitigation and economic development projects that were started in 2019 and they'd like to finish those in 2020. In the next grouping there, the capital projects, there were some leftover capital funding related to the PETS building that is being requested to be repurposed to be used for the Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park improvements. And Brookside had some capital funds left over from the purchase of their medical, the transport van to be used for the aviary and the memory care and for residents, resident TVs. And the last one in that section having to do with carrying over some funds in the equipment line to repurpose that for a refrigerator for the break room. The last group there has to do with Brookside capital projects within the 8,000 series. So originally those funds were designated for bed replacements and lamps, equipment, elevator improvements, and building renovations. And they're being repurposed for doors, windows, sinks, and flooring, and a washing machine and dryer, and those other items that are listed there. And lastly, there for the highway department, there were some surplus funds within the purchase of tractor trailers. And those are being requested to be repurposed for a liquid dispensing unit. So in total, it's $369,000, which in comparison to prior years, it's much less than usually what we end up having to request or be approved. Take any questions on that?
The grand total is $369,884, correct?
Correct.
And these other things that we've talked about, that's not part of this resolution, is that right?
Correct.
We just got talking about some deficits in health insurance, sheriff's department, inmate, all of that is not to be discussed with the carryover resolution.
Correct. Only the ones that are listed here on page 4.
Okay. All right.
Then on page 5, this is a budget modification that closes out the ERP project. We borrowed the capital financing, the last piece of this, the 1.545 in August of 2019. And this is the accounting to close out that project so that it's not attributed to the project going over its budget. In fact, it came in slightly under budget. So this is just clean.
That's not part of the resolution, or it is?
It is. It is part of the resolution.
Okay. And where does that fit in with this 369 figure?
This is in addition to that.
Oh, it is. Okay. So this is information technology for, and you used the initials, but spell it out.
The enterprise resource planning. That's the ERP project. That's the computer system that we use to do our payroll, our accounting, our accounts payable. That was
our financial.
Yeah, that was initiated in the end of 2018, and this is the final accounting for that.
And that bottom line figure is the $1,545,000?
Correct.
And that's being carried over?
That would be what this would be, was adjusting the budget for 2019. So we're matching the funds that we borrowed in August, and we're putting the budget in 2019 so it matches expense to the revenue.
Yes.
So we're having to borrow an additional $1,545,000.
No. We've already borrowed that. This is just accounting for the budget so that it matches what we've borrowed.
The ERP project is completed in 2019. When the project was started back in 2017, there was an initial resolution for $3 million for the project. We borrowed $1.5 million in 2017 or 2018. I believe it was 2018. And then as the project completed, continued through 2019, we realized that the project was going to complete in 2019. Our original intention was that the last piece of the borrowing and to complete the project would happen in 2020, but the project is drawing to a close now. Everything has been completed. Some of the pieces, like the budget, went through this year with the budget process. So the project was going to draw to a close in 19. So to match the expenses and the revenues, that's what this budget mod does.
It's just, we're not really doing anything new here. It sounds more like something that an accountant would probably be more interested in.
Right.
Is that right?
That's a very good explanation.
We're not paying back anything.
No.
We're just.
Yep, the funds have already been borrowed under that initial resolution that was part of our issue in August when we issued debt.
The money has been spent and the software installed?
Yes.
Yes.
It is live and working well.
Anything else?
No, that completes everything that I was planning on speaking through.
All right, so the only two things this evening would be to pass is the carryover resolution 2019. These are the projects to be completed in 2020, and then the modification of this budget on the software issue, the information technology, payroll, et cetera.
Correct. The budget mod is incorporated within the resolution. So it's all in one package.
All right. And that completes your report on that issue before the board.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Is there any discussion on this committee? What's your pleasure then?
Move to approve.
Second.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If I may, I'm going to approve this this evening, but I want to abstain from $48,000 for the shoreline record restoration at Kemper, the effect on the executive director.
All right. Director, so note, anything else? Any other comments? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And this resolution that I have here, if you would, I'll circulate it, and that will be the resolution for Tuesday evening, and Patty, am I correct, I to leave it on the desk?
Yes.
Someone from your office or the clerk's office will pick it up.
That is correct.
All right.
Are you guys going to be here Tuesday to answer questions, or are you doing this thing?
I believe we're doing this thing.
All virtual from now on out.
Okay, because it's going to, yeah. It's good. You guys better work on the mics, because I'm telling you, I had a hard time hearing. So
you have a hard time hearing.
You got the whole board in here. There's going to be a number of people that are not going to hear you.
If I could add, I think you need to add some auxiliary speakers throughout here for added sound, because these aren't cutting it here for some of the supervisors. I can hear fine, but some of the other people can't. So.
Yeah. All right, well, that completes the...
But what you should do is somebody there has to come here and you do what we did tonight. Somebody, some of you here, some of you there at home, and you'll understand where the sound is coming from and where it's not right.
Yeah, it's pretty deficient right now for an entire room. All right, so we're moving on. The audit of bills, is that circulating?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. And John
figures it stops at Wimble. Oh, sorry, did I say that all out?
All right. Then are there any further reports?
Throw it at him.
Under the report section, Patty.
Martin? No, there are not.
None?
No.
Nothing. All right. Well, that completes the agenda this evening. Unless someone has anything else relevant to the agenda, thank you. And Patty, we'll leave these on the desk as well, the bills signed.
Motion to adjourn.
There is a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Is there, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, very good. Thank you. We are adjourned.